Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium 4.5. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist, NFL is K-I-S-T. All of this, of course, is powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Today we have two press conferences for you. First up is Jim Schwartz, defensive coordinator, to explain some interesting things behind why Jalen Mills might be sticking on the outside and why Avonte Maddox, the rookie cornerback, is moving to safety and why he made that move, along with some other discussions about some of the coverages and fourth downs that the Eagles were unable to come up big on. Then after that is Mike Groh, offensive coordinator for the Eagles, talking about the offensive performance in the 23-26 overtime loss to the Titans. So all that coming up, lots of fascinating info contained in these, and we'll be back with our regular scheduled programming tomorrow as the Kist and Solak show returns to break down the All-22 film of the Eagles and Titans Week 4 game before moving on to Minnesota. So let's kick it over to the press conferences. We'll start with Jim Schwartz right now.
Hopefully I don't. All right.
Jim, what kind of options did you look at safety? Was Jalen Mills ever considered because he had played safety versus Avonte, who had never played?
No, we're comfortable leaving Jalen at corner. You know, when it came time to replace Rodney, who will be sorely missed this year, he'll be back, but we certainly felt his loss. He's been such an important part of our team. When we replaced him, we sort of compartmentalized it into two positions. One was Corey Graham, and the other one was Avonte. And we thought of all the guys on our roster, we thought Avonte had a lot of the same traits that Rodney had. And with Avonte playing the nickel position, there's a lot of carryover between nickel and safety also. So even though some things are new, he's got excellent quickness. He's got great eyes for the football. He's got the combination of being able to cover and also be able to play the run. All the things we liked about him as a nickel, we also like about him as a safety. So I think we'll see more of him going forward in that role.
Jalen will stay at corner. Mm-hmm. But you also mean starting two. You're going forward with Jalen as your outside starting corner.
Yeah, I'm firmly behind Jalen Mills as a corner. You know, one of the reasons we had a big parade on Broad Street was Jalen Mills, and you know he's played a lot like a 2-2 corner. We've played a lot like a 2-2 defense. We've played a lot like a 2-2 team right now. There's been inconsistencies all around, but it's our job to help him through that. It's his job to get out of that. And I'm firmly behind Jalen Mills. That guy's played a lot of good football for us, and he's epitomizes a lot of things we're about defensively: toughness and competitiveness, and ability to bounce back. And I'm confident he will.
Are you making any personnel changes this week, Jim?
Yeah, I never. You guys know I never talk about personnel changes, maybe other than getting behind a guy like that. Yeah, anything else we'll just see on Sunday.
Jim, on that last play, you had a couple guys, there in kind of a zone.
Jalen and I think it was Malcolm. Were they supposed to be, or should they have been deeper?
Oh, no, that wasn't a zone. That was an all-out blitz. We were going for the win right there. Because if we can get a sack right there or we can get a completion inbounds, I don't know if they can get their game-tying field goal off, or, maybe they just get up and try to run a quick fade or something like that. It was one of those situations that we were aggressive. We went for the win, and we sort of paid for it. But that's a blitz. That's man. They brought a guy back behind the ball. Everybody was one-on-one. Avonte got the one. He slipped on the play, made up some ground, but it was too late after he slipped. They had the advantage, and we ended up paying the price for it.
Were the other guys where they were supposed to be, though?
There's a tight end and a running back over there, and they're man-to-man on those guys.
Jim, as far as situational football has been a strength of this team, the fourth downs, you just chalk that up as one of those weeks, or is it bigger than that?
Yeah, I mean, incredibly disappointing. I mean, you know, fourth and ones are tough. You know, fourth and inches like that, you got to defend every blade of grass on the field. And that's a difficult position. You can't expect to win every one of those. But, you know, damn if we shouldn't expect to win every fourth and 15. And that was probably the biggest disappointment. You're going to have some that you give up. I mean, it's just life in the big city. But fourth and 15, you know, that's the one that's the most disappointing. And, you know, that cost us the game. We probably had about six plays that if we made any of those plays, we win the game. And obviously, we didn't make the plays to win the game.
What went wrong on the fourth and 15?
What's that?
What went wrong on the fourth?
Our coverage broke down.
Jim, there were three long balls that only one of them was completed, but the two others, the receivers, basically, Mariner missed the guy the first one, the other one was dropped. Was the deep safety supposed to be there for those plays?
Well, I'm not going to talk all the particulars about the scheme, but not all of them were played correctly. You know, I'll be confident to say this: all three of those are coverages that we shouldn't give up big plays on. They're plays that if they gain 10 yards or 5 yards, you know, we're sort of, you know, picking up and moving to the next play. But you know, and it's a little bit like the fourth and 15. We're perfectly willing to give up 10 yards on that play. I mean, we can give up 14 and a half, but can't give up more than 15. And we were loose on that. Same as those other plays. I think that you know. You look at the game, I thought we played a really good first half of that game. And then second half, we weren't consistent at all. Gave up a touchdown. I mean, it's disappointing. When you get a 14-point lead midway through the fourth quarter, midway through the third quarter, we should win that game. And that's on the defense. Defense should win that game. We get a 14-point lead midway through the third. We get a lead in overtime. It's our responsibility to win that game. We didn't play consistent enough to win that game, and that goes from a fourth and one all the way to a fourth and 15.
When you say help Jalen through this, do you mean schematically on the field, or do you mean off the field confidence-wise?
Oh, no. Do you know Jalen? You ever see him? Yeah, confidence. We don't have to worry about that. I do think there's a combination of scheme, technique, you know, other things that go into that, and that's part of position coach's job. That's part of defense coordinator's job. You know, our guys play with a lot of confidence. We don't have to worry about that with them. We need to be more consistent. I said, you know, we played suspiciously like a 2-2 team, and that's you know, that's where it is. And probably any player you want to ask about how they're playing. Playing a lot like a two and two player right now, a 2-2 team.
As far as Corey Graham goes, he played 71 snaps. Is that sustainable going forward for a 33?
Yeah, that's probably a lot. You know, short term, you can do a lot of things short term. Long term, it's probably a little bit unrealistic long term, but we'll see how it goes going forward. We're comfortable with him in roles that he's played for us, and he's had to step up and play increased snaps at different point, but we'll just see going forward.
So, Monty,
how did he play in that first game, and is there room for him to grow into an even larger role too?
I'll stay with my talking point. He played like a 2-2 team. I mean, like, made an interception and got us a score, you know, and then, you know, had a one-on-one slipped. I mean, you know, slip, that's part of your being a player, and gave up the play. So, you know, did some good things, obviously, and some things that we can improve on, for sure. But the thing we'd like, I mean, Avante's another guy that's very competitive. He's quick. He's really smart. We really like him as a player, and that was a good chance for us to be able to get him on the field.
He said to me that Doug shared was that until you guys stop the deep ball, teams are going to still challenge you there. What's the fix there? How do you improve in that area?
Well, I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things. I've been on record of saying this a lot of times. It's very rare that it's just an individual play. There's 11 different pieces, and all those pieces have something to do with giving up deep balls. Your rush is a little bit better. Quarterback doesn't have time. Your overlapping zone is better, and you're knocking balls down or intercepting balls. Your man-to-man is a little bit tighter. You don't have those problems. You know, so it's a combination of a lot of things. You know, the thing is, you look at the balls we'd go. And I'd put the penalties on there too, you know, because even though they don't count against stats, you know, I don't really care very much about stats other than winning, losing, and points allowed. But they count. I mean, they still move the ball. So they count on us also. And, you know, that's a big thing for us. When we've played well as a defense, we haven't given up big plays. We need to get back to that.
Jim, how do you balance whether to put a guy in an unfamiliar position, like mentioning Devontae, you know, moving him to safety as opposed to Jalen? Is it by need totally that you need an outside corner so Jalen's there? I mean, or I'm just curious how you make that judgment call of who to move into something that's unfamiliar.
Yeah, you know, we've done it. We've done it in the past too when we've got injuries. Try to leave as many people. I think some of our best work has been done trying to leave as many people as we can in the same position and just make one exchange rather than the waterfall of move one guy and then somebody else moves into his, somebody else moves into his. It's hard to gain consistency when that happens, you know, where you move one guy into a role, you're working on that guy developing and ironing out his wrinkles. As everybody else is staying familiar to what they're doing.
Like the way Sidney Jones has played in the nickel spot, and would he be a guy like you might consider giving more time on the outside? If,
you know? He's played suspiciously like a 2-and-2 player also. You know, he made a play on the sideline on the first play. Him and Malcolm had a switch on a pick route and came and made a great play, big third down stop for us. But then later on, he had his warts also, and he had a hand in a lot of those plays also, and he just needs to work on being more consistent at the nickel position. We're excited about him. He's made some really good plays. I mean, I think one that probably fell a little bit below the radar, we never talked about it last week, he made a tackle on that blitz that, I mean, it was an incredible effort. So there are good things. He's trending the right way. We have a lot of confidence. He can play outside. If he's asked to do that, I'm sure he'll do a good job.
No concerns about Avante's size as far as playing safety?
Yeah, you know, the thing about that was always one thing that was said about Rodney also. You know, they're not a whole lot different as far as height. Avante's maybe a little bit lighter. I think that Rodney had some of those same things. Rodney played corner in college. Avante gives us great range. He's quick. He's a smart player. He's just a little bit inexperienced, and each rep he gets will get better for us.
You have just three safeties. Are you banging the table for a fourth and possibly someone who's played the position extensively?
Yeah, I don't bang the table for really anything. I mean, we get, to quote Malcolm Jenkins, we're all we got, we're all we need. We're confident that we can cover anything with the guys that we have in the room.
As a follow-up to that, as you go forward, are you viewing Avante as a safety this season, or is he still going to work in it as a slot?
Yeah, you know, we cross-train guys so much, and that's been such a big part of our success. You know, Malcolm plays linebacker positions, plays nickel, plays both safety spots. Corey Graham plays all over the place. I mean, you can see him all over, and I think that's been big part of our success. So guys that can cross chain are important to us. Gives us a little bit of flexibility. He can cover wide receivers. You know, he's got great range. Has really good eyes for the football. I think you see that on the interception. He's just clueing the quarterback the whole way there. You know, and there's been some very successful safeties in the NFL that have that skill set. It's a little bit different than, you know, some of the bigger guys that have played position. Doesn't mean you can't be effective doing it.
On that, does Rasul Douglas get cross-trained safety corner? What does he need to do to get more snaps?
Yeah, you know, he does get cross-trained a little bit. He's mainly an outside corner. We think that best fits his skill set. And he's always ready no matter what the situation. I think we saw that in the opener. Had to come in for just a couple plays, and he may play. So did for us last year. We have confidence that if he's called on it, he'll do the same thing for us this year.
When you look at just in general across the league, you look at all the exotic pre-snap motion, how does that make it difficult for the defense?
You talking about like jet motions?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the fly motions and the jet motions. It just makes things happen so much quicker. I mean, motion's been a part of the game forever, and guys always have to work across. But generally, there wasn't a lot of – I mean, the guy was motioning and sort of running about half speed we're seeing now is we're seeing motions, and it's not exactly new. It's been around for a while, but you're seeing motions that are full speed. I mean, guys look like they're at the combine trying to run. And it just makes your communication, your anticipation, your communication have to be seamless, and you have to be you have to match the speed physically, and you also have to match the speed mentally, so to speak, scheme wise.
Jim, another road game where you guys have given up more than 20 points again. Why do you think the trend continues where you're playing better defensively at home than on the road?
Yeah, I think that's just built into the NFL. But we need to play better on the road. I mean, obviously, we play 8 games on the road, and we can't be 8-8, be winning our home games and losing all our road games. But like I said last week, the biggest difference is the home crowd. Everything else is the same. We're striving for consistency as a team. We're 2-2. We've had ups and downs. And, I mean, I told the players this, and you guys know I'm not real wild about revealing conversations, but this is a little bit more generic. You can look at our team and say we're one win, we're one play, and maybe I can point to a dozen plays from the Titans game. We're one play away from being 3-1. We're also 2 plays away from being 0-4. So we need to face that, and we're sort of right in the middle of that, being 2-2. I mean, but Julio Jones makes a catch, or Andrew Luck escapes out of a sack and, finds somebody in the end zone. And, all of a sudden we could be looking at a completely different thing. So I think whether it's home, whether it's road, we need to play more consistent as a team, and particularly as a defense.
What do you see from the Vikings?
Okay, the same thing. New quarterback, obviously. A lot of the same skill guys. Getting Dalvin Cook back has been big for them. They haven't been able to run the ball because they've been behind in some games and been in some shootouts in another. They put a bunch of points on the board last week, put a bunch of points on the board against the Packers. I think coming into the season, everybody expected San Fran to be a strong contender. They dispatched them in the opener. They just had one awful game. They were down 27-0, I think, in the middle of the second quarter against the Bills. And just shows you what this league is all about. The Bills came into that game 0-2, and they were reeling, and guys were retiring. And, anything that could be bad was bad for them. But and they went on the road and just came out on fire and played. And, it just goes to show you can never assume anything. And everybody in this league is good enough to be here. And I was really proud of Buffalo for that game. Getting Dalvin Cook back has changed. They haven't really been able to run the ball. A few changes on the offensive line. Obviously, a new quarterback, and his stats are really good right now, completing 70% of his passes, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And they scored a bunch of points. We're going to have to keep the points down and make sure they don't get the run game. I think it's a little easy to get deceived with the run game, them being 32. In the NFL right now, and they have a defensive coach. He's not going to stand for that very long. They want to establish the run. It's our job to keep them from doing that and keep big plays off the board. Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
How much does your running game affect your commitment to the running game? The fact that when you get behind the chain so much, is that a factor in your game?
Well, when you don't stay on schedule, then you've got to call the game accordingly. And we had some drives and series where, we may make a couple first downs, but then fall behind the chains, and we're just trying to make first downs.
You guys were aggressive, though, on first down. Was that the game plan coming in, and did that affect your ability? Because sometimes you're just getting sacked there and losses on those plays.
Well, I think, our mindset here on offense is to always be aggressive. We certainly want to be sound in what we do, and, coach tries to call each and every game that way. And it's been a very successful formula for us. Sometimes, they're practicing too. They're watching tape, and they make plays, and we have a negative play, or, we have a sack, and then, we got to be able to overcome those moments.
Mike, what's going on with blitz recognition and picking up blitzes? It seems like it's become a real adventure.
Those are your words. I wouldn't say that. I mean, we've got as good an offensive line as there is in the league, and wouldn't trade any of those guys. And the guys on the other side, they do a lot of studying too, and they work hard. And they had a couple good pressures. They have a good pressure scheme. We knew that going into the game. They do a good job picking the offensive linemen up front and knocking guys off of off the, you know, off the games and making it difficult to pass games and getting on edges. And a couple instances that happened, and we've had a couple nakeds where we've naked it right into a pressure and has resulted in a sack. So it's a little bit bad timing too.
Looking back at those specifically, do you think you guys were tipping something, or was that just luck of the draw there with the nakeds that where you ran?
I think it was just luck of the draw. I mean, we had a good call on a couple weeks ago, and we got a mechanism to go the other direction, and we ended up not seeing it the right way. So, it's just one of those things that happen that you want to avoid. But in this case, we didn't avoid it, and we had a loss.
You talk often about red zone. You had a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter and overtime, staunched it in the red zone there. What were the problems from what you saw?
Chance to win the game, how? I thought we had the lead. I thought we took the lead.
Well, if you scored a touchdown, it was over.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, so
we did take the lead.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we did go down and score points and put ourselves in a position to win. And we're not getting the production that we would like. We want to score more touchdowns, and that's what we're out there to do. Not to kick field goals. We got a great field goal kicker, but we all know that we want to score touchdowns and finish those drives in the end zone. And we'll go back out there this week and try to put another good plan together and. Execute and make the plays when the plays are there to be made. So it's a little bit of everything. Here at week four, we're not scoring at the clip that maybe that we've given ourselves the opportunity to, because we've had to kick more field goals than we like.
Mike, one of the positives was Alshon returning, that kind of production. What is that ability, the back shoulder stuff, the 50-50 balls, what does that bring to the
game? Well, you can see that he presents a matchup problem and advantage for us, so it's just nice to have him out there. I think he's somebody that Carson can always look to and feel comfortable with in a one-on-one situation, and that he can rise up and make a play for us. And I mean, he did that. I mean, huge play on 3rd and 16 in the red zone. We had, I think, 4 third downs in the red zone that we were only 1 for 4, and that was 3rd and 16 for the touchdown. So some of those situations are hard when you get 3rd and goal to go with long distance. Those are those are difficult plays to call and to be able to come up with touchdowns in those situations. So that was a huge play, and a couple of the other 3rd downs that he was able to help us convert. So he's a big part of what we want to do going forward, and he certainly played really well his first time out.
With you helping Doug on 2 minute, that last play before the half, one of the last plays before the half, with 11 seconds left, he called a run there. Do you have the ability to talk him out of making that call? And I mean, is that kind of your role there, or is your role just to kind of, feed them plays or scenarios?
Coach and I talk before the game about, all the situations over the course of the week, and just like we do as an entire staff. So, we're not there to second-guess calls or anything like that. We're going to go with the play that's called and execute and get ready to call the next one.
It seems like you got away from using outside zone a little bit against the Titans. Does that depend really on what personnel you have in the game?
No, I don't think it's personnel driven. It's, we want to make our game plan based on the scheme that we're playing against, and to play with leverage and angles to give ourselves the best, angles on the blocks. And so that, it's going to vary each and every week. We can run outside zone to, in any personnel group.
Jordan's been playing a lot on the outside. You've been keeping Nelson inside more than people thought. And what's the thinking there as far as that's concerned?
Well, we think Nelson's a really productive player inside. He was throughout the course of the entirety of last season, and feel really comfortable with what he's done for us there. That doesn't disparage, what Jordan can do or can't do. That is just a product of the fact that Nelly's had a ton of production in there for us.
What are some of the issues with the screen game? It doesn't seem to be working as well as it has for you guys in the past.
We had issues the other day, a couple pressures into it, and some D linemen fell off into, really kind of fell into the lap of the running back, made it difficult for him to get out. In one case, a couple weeks ago against Tampa Bay, we had some really productive screens. So, again, one of the areas that we know we need to get more out of, it's kind of, just one of those, couple of those unfortunate deals where they had the right call on in that situation and kind of fell into a couple of plays.
What did you see from Wendell in terms of blitz pickup, knowing his assignment and executing those blocks?
Wendell, when he had given the opportunity, he did a really nice job for us. And, He's one of those guys that provides a spark when he gets in there and gets the ball in his hands. Had a big run there on that, I believe it was the overtime drive. Had a free hitter in the hole and bounced off him for about an 11-yard run going down our sideline there, first down. And all the backs are diligent. Deuce does a great job getting those guys ready in their pass protections, and they're locked in on it.
Sam had 8 catches in the first half, had that 24-yarder on the first possession in the third quarter, and then had just one more catch the rest of the game. Did they do anything? Did they make any adjustments on him that took him away? Why wasn't he a bigger part in the second half?
He's always a part of what we do. He factors into everything that we do. He's one of our key playmakers. And no, they didn't do anything differently to try to take him away or minimize his production. The ball just didn't find him.
I feel maybe we should run the ball a little bit more. Maybe we need a little bit more balance.
I get the questions, guys. You know, you got to ask him to do that job. But we try to be as balanced as we can be. And we're going to play the game that we think needs to be played. And some of it's dictated during the course of the game. We prided ourselves, and I think coach is as patient a play caller as there is in the running game in this league. And really doesn't deviate from it. And you can see there at the end of the game, we're still running the football. Even in the overtime drive, we're running it time after time and having good success. So, a run call is never very far from the tip of his finger. He's always thinking about it and conversing with the staff during the course of the game.
What have you this many hits on Carson as you had Sunday on a regular basis?
We certainly want to keep him upright, that's for sure. We don't like seeing him picking himself up off the ground, and we got to do a better job of that. All of us got to be conscious of that, and it starts with us as coaches and make sure we put a good plan together to keep him clean.
What have you seen from that Minnesota defense? Number one last year, they struggled this year. Seems like they've had some communication issues on the back end. Is that something you think you can take advantage of?
We got a lot of respect for Coach Zimmer and his defense, and they got a lot of talented players there on defense. So it'll be a big challenge for us on Sunday.
On third and long, you guys were the best team in the league last year. It's been not quite as good this year. Are there any big issues you see there, or is that just sort of the way things have gone?
Well, it's low percentage when you put yourself in that circumstance. Throughout the course of a game, I think we had 7 third and 9 pluses the other day. So we all know that the percentage drops dramatically at that distance. So we could do a better job on first and second down to not be in those predicaments as often throughout the course of the game. I mean, that makes it hard on any offense.
Mike, with Wentz coming off the injury, I mean, he's certainly showing mobility, but maybe not at the same level pre-injury yet. Are you guys talking through that as he's adapting to kind of whatever early limitations he might be having as he's coming off that major surgery?
No, we don't have any conversations about it. I mean, he looks great to me. I mean, he's got to wear the brace, which I imagine if we all walked around with a brace on, it wouldn't quite feel the same as it would without the brace. But I don't see any real limitations in his mobility or pocket mobility to be able to scramble first for a first down.
Do you think he has the same elusiveness that he did pre-injury?
I think he's a pretty mobile quarterback for the size that he is. And, in this league, he does a good job of standing there, sliding the pocket, getting out of the pocket, and looking to run or throw once he breaks outside the pocket. But
two more questions.
How would you assess his play overall in the two games so far, maybe, compared to last year, what you saw?
Yeah, I think he's played well. I mean, for a guy who's just played in two games, had no preseason games to prepare at all, Carson's played really well for us. And, we all got to raise the level of our game. It's not that's certainly not on Carson's shoulders. It's on all of us. And whether we'd won or lost on Sunday, we'd be sitting here saying the same thing. There's a lot of things that we need to get better at to have the kind of season we want to have.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey guys, this is John Stolness from the Good Fight and the Phillies podcast, Hittin' Season, where I talk to Phillies beat writers, broadcasters, and fellow Good Fight bloggers, as well as national baseball writers, and the occasional interview with Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler. Also, you'll get Continued Success, a Phillies podcast hosted by Justin Clue and Liz Rocher, covering all things Phillies, and The Dirty Inning, a hilarious podcast hosted by Justin and Trevor Strunk, looking at the very worst innings in Phillies history. Make sure you are subscribed to the Good Fight podcast feed.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.